This is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow us on Twitter at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little extra effort could earn you a star.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Now, that's why they call me country.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Do not let one inning take away from the fact that we're sitting atop of this division as AL East champion. This is one stop. This is one stop. There are three more to go. This team is prepared. You're tough. You're smart. And more than anything, you care for one another. And that's the most important thing.
That's right.
You can have it. That's right.
Hell yeah.
I need some goggles.
Listen in here. Shake that shit up, boys.
Come on.
Hey, all these guys, baby.
Pump the motherfucker.
Of ceremony this evening, Joe Castiglione and Don Orsillo.
Where are they?
Where are they?
Show your faces. You son of a bitch.
That clip we started the show with is still Nesson's greatest moment. That was, do you remember? Oh my gosh. Was that, it was Farrell's final year, and they had just won the division, or they just won the AL East. But what happened was they had won it right after they had that horrible loss. I think it was, who were they playing?
They were playing the Yankees, yeah. And Teixeira hit a grand slam off Joe Kelly to beat him in the bottom of the ninth
for
inning.
For them to lose it.
At Yankee Stadium.
And they were showing...
They limped into the clubhouse.
Yes.
Well, they were showing people, like, around Fenway. They were trying to get people excited that the Red Sox were going to win the AL East.
Like three guys in
and
that bar.
They were at the Yard House, and there was like a guy reading a menu.
Right.
Like,
no,
at the
he
bar.
Was reading a book.
Oh, was he reading a book at the
yeah,
bar?
He was reading a book at the
okay.
bar.
Like, they could... Completely, because the game was obviously Yankee Stadium, and they completely overestimated the amount of mania that was going to be down there with all the celebrating and all the bottles being popped. And they just came limping because they had just gotten their ass kicked. It was the most embarrassing way to lose. And they limp into the locker room, and then Farrell has to come in and make that speech. Guys, it's okay to be happy right now. Hey, let's pop bottles. And Nesson just, and to their credit, they didn't cut the tape. But it was maybe 3 to 4 straight minutes of just F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. And then they would do split screen with the people at the Yard House, and they're just sitting there reading. Like, well, one's into it.
That's when they had the Budweiser stuff that you had to go and celebrate in front of. They had Budweiser tapestry all over all the lockers. So was, you were, and then they had a big thing of Budweiser, so you had to. You had to celebrate at that point.
It was the best episode of The Office. Like, it was just so wildly uncomfortable. And nobody really liked that team at that point. Like, everyone was kind of pissed off at him. It was just nobody really cared, and they tried to blow it up to be something that it wasn't. But that's my all-time favorite moment on Nesson.
That was not the last year of Farrell.
It was second to last year.
Oh, was it the second to last year? Okay, second to last year.
Last night, I had a screener. It's very exciting to get a screener. And then if you get the screener, and you screener is when they send you something that has not been released yet. And you click on stuff, and you got to put in a code, and then you have 20 minutes to just begin watching it, and pressure is on at that point. When you have a screener, and there's 20, because the guy's going to be a guest on the show at 7:20, it's a friend of a friend, and you feel a tremendous amount of pressure. Dan knows all these things, but Dan gets the DVDs because he's a big SAG member for the Golden Globes. For some reason, Dan is a SAG member. It was his role in Hill Street Blues that got him all that. It was several seasons of Hill Street Blues.
A couple lines. Why are you a SAG member?
SAG merged with AFTRA, the American Federation of Radio and Television.
Oh, okay.
Back in the early 80s, you had to be a member of AFTRA.
Dan's the guy to know, though, if like it's Oscar time and the movies are still in the theater. Like, Dan's the guy.
So I watched this Andre the Giant documentary.
How long is it?
It's an hour and a half.
Okay, I can do that. I can do an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's going to be on HBO next week. And I watched it. Andre the Giant's life, not overly great.
Hmm.
Not a happy existence for Andre the Giant.
It's gotten rave reviews, though, by those who have seen it. Do you agree?
Yeah, it was good.
Bill Simmons is behind it, right?
Kind of. Bill Simmons, it's, you know, HBO and what he's doing documentaries there. This is probably like his third, but Bill Simmons, I don't think, had much to do with the making of it. I just think that he, you know, gave the license to the people to make it. But Andre the Giant, there are a couple of things. Is they talk about his drinking, but then they make that sad. And then they talk about his farting. And there's a good chunk of the movie about his farting.
Nice.
Interesting.
I find that interesting.
Oh, yeah. I had to wake my son up to come downstairs and watch this part. Apparently, it would be 30 seconds of... these groans that would come out of his anus.
Mm.
He would wait for the elevator doors to shut. They would be on private planes, and Andre the Giant would fart, and the pilots would be like, "We're never going to let you fly again." So this is the man lived a life of farting and constant drinking.
And did they? Who did they end up rolling out, like ex wrestlers to talk
Ric
about
Flair,
him?
Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan,
Hogan's there,
Jerry Lawler.
I'm sorry, I'm being distracted. They're showing people down at Fenway interviewing the guys standing out. There's two guys.
Yeah.
There's two guys waiting outside of Fenway right now.
Is Nick out there?
Yeah, is Nick there? Because he was supposed to be there.
Yeah, he's going to do a bit called "You're Freezing Your Bojangles Off."
There's two guys there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're an idiot. I mean, if you're out at 6:08 in the morning to go get tickets...
They're trying to find some
up the street, and the street is empty.
A second ago, they were showing this reporter, and in the background, almost like it was something out of a movie, you just saw one giant plastic bag just
floating by, like a tumbleweed in the desert.
Right, like they just threw that in there just to make it look.
I told you guys that there was going to be news trucks all over the place.
Yeah, of course there were news trucks on opening day at Fenway when it was in Tampa. I mean, they're everyone's looking for the live shot this morning. But that's, what are they saying it's going to be at first pitch now? Is it still going to be 40?
30, or? Yeah, 39 degrees.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, what do you expect?
I would expect is better weather. What I would expect is that it wouldn't be 39.
It's always like this, beginning of April.
You can get a day that it's 60. I mean, yesterday it was 60.
Yeah.
There's no reason it has to be 39 degrees outside.
It's snow tomorrow.
Yep. We're in the morning commute.
Yep.
But this Andre the Giant.
Yes, Andre the Giant. Sorry.
So he was making the Princess Bride.
Yeah.
And they would immediately, like at 9 in the morning, he would show up and they would give him a case of wine and he would drink it. And then he would drink like 24 beers and then he would have like two bottles of cognac to get tipsy. That was his normal diet of alcohol a day.
This is in the morning when he shows up? When he showed up?
9 in the morning, they would get a case of... red wine. And then he would drink that for a while. And then they would get beer. And he would have about 24 to 48 beers. And then he would move on to cognac. And he would have a couple bottles of cognac. And they said that his hands... There's a guy from University of Texas that did an article for Sports Illustrated about, he had the gigantism. He had there's a scientific name for it. And his hands were the same size of this like African gorilla, like that in the wild.
Well, the best picture is Andre the Giant holding a beer can. You've seen that. It's the famous one where it just fits right in his palm.
Like, it doesn't even come over the side of it where his thumb is.
Apparently, he got laid a lot. He had a kid. She's not doing so great now.
Oh.
How big is she? Appearance. She's normal. I mean, she's fat, but I mean, she's like normal size.
But she didn't like grow to be like she didn't get his genetics.
No, apparently, there was a time where he could have thwarted all these. When he was an adult, he hurt his ankle, and he could have thwarted all these problems that he was going to have. They could have given him medicine to help him out, and he refused it. He didn't want any of that.
Why? How did he die again? That's the one thing I don't know. It was a heart attack? Okay.
Yeah. Died of a heart attack at 46. 46, 48. He knew he was not long for this world. So we'll have a guy that made the documentary for HBO is a friend of a friend. And then I felt very special because I got a screener. But then there's a lot of pressure.
You know what I don't want to watch on HBO? The Joe Paterno movie. Like, they keep showing, like, the trailer for it with Al Pacino as Joe Paterno. And it's one of those things where it's like, we know the story. It's wildly depressing. I don't care how good the movie is. I don't kind of want to relive that. I think we all know what happened. Like, it's one of those films that's going to get nominated for a ton of stuff, and a bunch of people are going to talk about it. I have no interest like, that Happy Valley documentary that came out. Like, we already know how bad things were, and you're just going to tell us that it's even worse than it was. It was horrendous. So why would I want to subject myself to sitting down and watching another 2 hours
of it? Because it's interesting.
You see, but to me, it's like something could be interesting, but if it's super depressing, why go through it again?
Because it's interesting, and you maybe get some nuance to what you didn't know.
Not from a dramatic movie. I think reality is a little more.
A docudrama, you can learn a lot. I mean, if you don't want to see things that are depressing, then don't watch or read, 60% of the material that's out there.
Yeah, but we lived it for so long.
We didn't live anything.
Well, we had to talk about it for months. I mean, it was a huge story.
Yeah, but we didn't live it.
Well, of course we weren't in the middle of the story, but we had to talk about it and read everything and break all the news. Well, sure it did. We had to talk about it. It was part of our job for the longest time.
But it had nothing to do with us.
Okay, well, Deflategate, did that have anything to do with us? But no, I'm over it. It's like something that I don't want to hear anything more about.
Yeah, well,
it's something that was part of our job.
One thing is a crime that has nuances in the idea of what Paterno knows or knew as an icon is interesting. Deflategate was a bunch of legal documents. They're not comparable.
They are both two things that we spent a ton of time talking about on the show.
Then don't watch it.
I just said it wasn't. I literally just said that.
That part's been clear.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but don't start saying that, they shouldn't put things that are depressing on television.
I never said that. I said I'm not going to watch it.
That's great. Okay.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone. On the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Remember all those games the Celtics had been playing that despite their depleted roster, they were either winning or keeping it close at the end? This was not one of those games.
DeLon Wright, left-hand dribble to the elbow. Skip pass into the corner. VanVleet ducks the shoulder, drives baseline, shovel pass Nogueira for the slam. And the Raptors, they worked on this in the 5 days between games, and they are finding their way through the little holes in the zone.
Found that gap, and you get two dunks, not one.
89-73. Celtics running out of time now.
Just an all-around gross performance by the Celtics last night as they lose more ground to the first-place Raptors and now essentially are cemented into the 2 seed thanks to last night's 96-78 loss in Toronto. The day started off with what qualifies nowadays as good news for the Celtics and that Terry Rozier would return to the lineup. But the Raptors put on a defensive clinic, causing the Celtics to turn over the ball 17 times.
Ojeley, strong down the middle, has the ball knocked away. Lowry reaches in. DeLon Wright sends Lowry away. Gets to the cup, lays it in. Timeout, Brad Stevens.
And turn the basketball over. Bad things happen to your team.
That is true. 9 of those Celtics turnovers occurred in the second period and resulted into 17 easy points. Rozier, on his first night back, had a horrible shooting night. He was 1-for-9. But he wasn't the only one in a funk. Al Horford, 5-for-13. Jason Tatum only notched 8 points. He was 4-for-10 shooting. But where the Celtics truly struggled was from downtown. They shot a season low 13.6%,
making only 3 of their 22 three-point attempts. Here is Brad Stevens afterwards.
The only reason we were down at halftime were the turnovers, even though we couldn't score. So I think ultimately that probably wore on us. And, you know, they did a great job. They're really good. They're really deep. Hats off.
Yep, only 4 more regular season games left for the Celtics, but none more important than tomorrow night's Bulls game at the TD Garden. Why? Because it's being called by our own John Wall.
John Wall can't go to opening day today because he has to spend the day preparing.
Today's a study day, boys.
He has to spend the day, as opposed to tomorrow, where he's completely booked.
I'd like to get some rest before the game.
Yeah, well, obviously you have to. But, John, you gotta get into the hyperbolic chamber.
Yes.
And sit there and sleep for a while.
The hyperbolic chamber of stats. That's right. Immerse myself.
How much time will you spend preparing for this meaningless game?
Four or five hours.
Come on, John.
Sure.
You said that you couldn't go to the game.
Correct.
So what else is going on?
Well, I have to take care of my children as well later this afternoon.
So what do they
require?
There's
a block of time that I have set aside that I am to have time
to
myself.
Why don't you give your wife a chance to get off work for a while?
She just loved that. So
well, you give her a chance. You give her a break. You'd be the breadwinner.
Right.
What time do you get there on a day you call a game?
The game starts at 7:30. I'll be there by 5.
Okay, well, that's... I mean, you'll have a little bit of time tomorrow.
That's 2.5 hours to sit there. How much time does Cedric Maxwell put into preparation?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry.
The amount of time that he's eating cake in the break room.
I don't know. Does he have a bunch of sheets in front of him?
No, he has no sheets in front of him.
And somehow he's been able to do this for a long time.
That's correct.
All right. So today, let's go over what today is.
Okay, that's fine.
So you sleepwalk your way through this show.
Right. Don't pay any attention at all. Right. Just kind of mail it in.
And so you do that.
Yep.
And then you get off the air here at 10. And then what happens?
There's a post-show meeting usually right afterwards. So
I wouldn't count on a big one today.
Okay. That's true. Everyone's leaving to go to the ballpark.
Yeah,
we have
to start rubbing...
getting the hot pocket hand warmers.
Yeah, rubbing like lotions all over our bodies to
protect
not freeze.
You from the wind, right?
Right. And so, okay, no, seriously. But you get out, let's say you get out of here at 11.
Yeah.
All right, what happens from there?
Probably go home and have lunch and then plop myself down in front of my laptop in my office. I have...
You have an office?
Yes, in my house, I do.
It's just for you?
Yes.
With a desk and everything?
Yes, with a desk and everything.
Rich, do you have an office?
Dude, I live in like a 2-bedroom apartment. Like
I don't have an office.
Yeah. I don't have an office.
And I got a house.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so is there bookshelves lined with, you know, leather-bound editions?
No, I don't have that. I have a desk, and then I have a lot of pictures around the office, some sweet sports photographs I can gaze at occasionally, along with the downtown picture of Boston with Fenway Park perfectly centered.
Of Bill Belichick crossing the Delaware.
That's right. A cartoon version of that.
Where'd you get the picture of Boston?
I know, it's hard to locate these days.
It's like long?
I know.
Where'd you get that?
Downtown Boston at night with Fenway with the lights on right in the front and center.
His office is decorated by a mall kiosk.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where I got it.
He just went over to the Natick Mall and said, hey, kiosk.
I got a picture of the Big Three on one wall and the new Big Three.
He went
right
to Frazzleberry's in Newport.
That's right.
All right.
Frazzleberry's in Newport.
Oh, God.
Place you apparently have frequented. I have not seen it. I know nothing.
Every time I'm in Newport, I get wasted. I go to Frazzleberry's and buy a bunch of garbage in it. like nautical maps that I just sit in the basement.
You see, people think you're kidding, but having been to Newport, I know they have nautical maps everywhere.
I become fast.
Everywhere in Newport.
I think that I become convinced I'm going to buy a boat.
Yeah.
Which is never in a million years going to happen.
And probably one of the worst investments that 90% of the population can make.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what am I going to use it for?
Yeah.
To be frightened by the weather?
That's right.
All right. Well,
you
John,
do that on land.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But John, I have the ability to be frightened by a lot of things. But all right, nonetheless, John is going to be spending a lot of time studying.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no excuse for you to fail.
Correct. Pressure's on.
And that game will be on this station.
Yes, it will.
Yep, it will be tomorrow night. Yep,
against the Miami Heat. Look out, Friday night.
Chicago Bulls.
Whatever. I don't care.
Okay.
Toronto's been doing bad, right?
Toronto had been struggling recently.
Last 10 games, they've won 5 of their last 10.
They've been struggling recently, but last night they looked really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, they were excellent.
The Celtics played really good defense, but couldn't make a shot to save their lives.
Tate was a minus 11 with 8 points. I think we're finding out who he really is.
Well, we'll play a reaction that Tommy Heinsohn had yesterday to someone suggesting they trade Jason Tatum.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Heinsohn not very happy about that suggestion. But taking a look at the bottom of the standings, as far as who your first-round matchup might be, you got Miami, Washington, and Milwaukee, and they are in a logjam. Miami's 13.5 games behind right now. If the playoffs were to start today, you'd be taking on Washington, who is standing at 14, but they are tied, essentially, with Milwaukee.
Who you play next week, by the way.
Yeah,
you play Washington next week.
Yeah. But another thing that's interesting to keep an eye on is right now, Cleveland is in the 3 spot and Philly is in the 4 spot, but they are both tied at 8 games back.
And they play each other tomorrow night.
Which is huge, obviously, for Boston. If they can get past that first round, it might be kind of nice if in the next round you have a Toronto-Cleveland matchup if they end up falling to the 4. So you can only cross your fingers. Hopefully it works out that way. But in the meantime, everyone, a lot of people are saying don't play Miami. I have to be honest, I'm looking at those 3 teams, and I want to play Miami the most out of Milwaukee and Washington. Milwaukee the other day, I mean, that's Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, can just take over a game. We've learned that. And what they did to them just the other day, and I know that they had their number 5 starting point guard out there.
The Celtics had no point guard. They didn't necessarily play well for long periods of time, and they lost by 4 on the road with Antetokounmpo scoring 29.
I just don't think that there is something in the genetic makeup of the Celtics team that will let them get beat by Kelly Olynyk in a 7-game series.
Well, I just think that there's some... be...
I can't, and I know Spoelstra...
I didn't factor that in.
I know Spoelstra's a great coach.
He's Brad Stevens-like, Eric Spoelstra.
Well, he's a top-5 coach in this league. No one's going
to
argue with
that.
They have
to wring out their panties.
I just can't see them getting beat in a 7-game series by Kelly Olynyk. Washington, absolutely. They've got enough talent to beat the Celtics without a lot of their stars. We understand that. Now, they've been dysfunctional this season, but they've been really good up against the Celtics. I don't want anything to do with Washington. What I saw the other day with Milwaukee, I don't want to have anything to do with. Give me Miami. Give me Miami if you got to give me any of those 3 teams. But either way, I'm not 100% confident in the Celtics and against any of them with their roster that you have right now.
True.
It is extremely possible that the Celtics can get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think anybody doubts that.
No, it's possible. Sure it is. It's possible, but not probable. If the Celtics have everyone except for Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart, I think they can beat any of those 3 teams in a playoff series. It'd just be a lot more uncomfortable if you have to match up with Spoelstra. I don't want any part of him in the first round.
All right, Rich, what else are we going to talk about?
Well, it is opening day down at Fenway Park, and on top of that, there is some more Patriots news that's come out. More speculation as to what they intend to do with those picks they got from Brandon Cooks. Some ex-Patriots weigh in on what they would do if they were in charge.
And there's a very intriguing receiver on the market that is one of the best college football players I've ever seen in my life. And I'm interested to see if he has anything left in the tank.
Stay tuned. More Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. So Nick is basically not shown up at Fenway Park.
He was supposed to be there at 6 a.m.
Oh, man.
And so I texted him. Like, hey, Nicky at Fenway. And then I texted him again. Nick, what's going on? And we've tried calling him, too.
Uh-oh.
I hope he's okay. I mean, Nick is reliable.
He had that big red box job that he got fired from. So, he's got nothing but time. He seemed excited about going out there. And it's perfect right now because there's 2 jabronis.
Like literally 2 guys sitting out front, and that's it.
And this would be the perfect time to be out there. Holy Moses. What? I mean, he should have just said he didn't want to do it. And then I would have been fine.
What time do the bars open? 8?
8.
So, okay. 8 o'clock, yeah.
All right.
8 o'clock's a dangerous time to start drinking.
I've never started drinking that early, ever. I think the earliest I've started drinking is 10, maybe 10:30 for a college football game.
Yeah, 8 o'clock is a dangerous time because it mixes with being tired.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you have enough beer, you're not going to eat.
Yeah.
So you get that, you get that, like, quasi, they call it an Always Sunny a brownout. You get that thing where you recall certain, you're not blacked out, but you get a brownout where you remember certain things, but not everything.
I've never been a hair of the dog guy either. Like, I have never woken up and to help a hangover, I drink more. So, I mean, the 8 o'clock thing, God bless you. If you're going out your pregame, because that's 6 hours. You got to, that's 6 hours of drinking before the game starts.
No, you don't make it to the game. There's no way.
Right.
Even
if you're pacing yourself, that's still a lot.
Well, I mean, if you can drink beer for 8 hours,
then you're just bloated as hell when you show up.
Then God bless you, because I don't know how you could possibly drink beer for that long.
It is weird.
You would have to move on to some kind of mixed drink situation.
So if anyone knows what's up with Mr. Jamelli,
perhaps his father.
Well, if his father, no.
My name is Mark Jamelli.
Maybe if anyone knows what he's up to.
Now you wonder what happened to Nick. He's taking care of his dad.
Well, today is the day. 2:05, first pitch. I went on RedSox.com to see what kind of tickets you could get for today, and I just put in two. You can get field box 17 tickets, which is right there at third base. If you just put in, I want two tickets.
Better tickets than ours.
Yeah. I mean, they are $191 each, but those tickets are available.
To go to a baseball game.
Great seats, though. You're right. I mean, you're right near the dugout.
$191 to go to a regular season baseball game.
The opener. I mean, that's kind of unheard of. I was shocked.
No, the idea that they're available is interesting, but $191 face value is ridiculous. I mean, that's insanity.
It's been that for how long? Like, those seats right there, particularly, Fred, you're right. I mean, the other ones have gone up, but it's strange. But those right there, I mean, those are... In almost any park, those are $150 seats. For a good team. I mean, if it's a good team, you're right by the dugout.
We went through this. Average Cub tickets are $150.
Okay.
Average Red Sox ticket. The Red Sox were second at around 100, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy.
I bet those seats in Baltimore are close to that price. If you're right by the dugout, no, yeah, it's like $150, $190.
I don't think so, because everyone. I've been to Baltimore for games, and people talk about it being cheaper to fly there, stay at a hotel, and go to a game.
I don't know if that's is still the case. I think that's when every game was a sellout that they were doing that. But this is, I mean, the fact that you can walk right up right now, or at least go online to RedSox.com and get a field box 17 seat, which is one section from the dugout.
So you're $400 going in.
Yeah, $405 with tax and fees.
Yeah, $405 going in.
Right.
And you're easily, I mean, if you're there and you're a normal person, you're going to drink beer. So two people, that's another $100. So now you're at $500.
All right, I'm looking online at Camden Yards tickets. Box seat right behind home plate. They're selling for $55 each.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Really? Like I'm looking at the right behind home plate?
The Ticket Network, whatever that is. Ticket Network, I would think it's a one-off or whatever. But still, even on the secondary market, $55 each.
Okay, I'm at the official Red Sox site.
But it doesn't matter. They'd be more on this site.
It's ludicrous. It's not how baseball should be. Baseball should be a walk-up sport.
Yep.
They should have built a new stadium or a new park.
That was the plan for two of the three ownership groups that were bidding for the franchise.
Dude, if Yankee Stadium did it, Fenway Park should do it.
Where are they going to put it?
Well, Seaport. Everything else is the Seaport right now.
No,
like literally go to the Seaport. Just like they're jamming everything into one small spot.
Real estate alone would kill it.
Knock down Fenway Park and build a new park.
It's not big enough. I mean, the space is maximized.
But I mean,
there was going to be a new Fenway Park right across the street. But wouldn't you know, all the remember the Howard Johnsons that used to be there? They wanted to expand. I don't know. Is it still there?
Yeah, it's now the hotel.
It's a hotel. Old Rolling Stone magazine.
They wanted to expand the ballpark and build it on top of that. And all of a sudden, wouldn't you know it? The guy was running that hotel. So, well, I had planned on expanding. Price is worth double what it was supposed to be worth.
You could not have paid me enough money to stay at that dumpy Howard Johnson's. Oh, was that gross. And to be that close to Fenway and to be that much of a tourist attraction and have that that disgusting hotel there. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know I went to, well, obviously not bragging over here, but, you know, bought big tickets to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, Game 1 Celtics-Cavs, and I sat, I think they're called Loge boxes. It's not the floor seats, but it's the one, right. the ones right behind that. Right behind the basket for $150 a pop, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So I just want to let you guys know that obviously the Celtics tickets are way cheaper than that.
Well, I have a guy from the ticket office that I buy tickets for face value off of. And I was sitting in seats with my son, his friend, and a friend of mine. And these guys behind me were like, Tachi, you ain't buy the seats. And I'm like, I did buy the seats. And I showed them the receipt. And they showed me their receipt from whatever ticket agency they were at. And they were quite a bit under mine. They were selling on the secondary market for much less than I had paid for my tickets.
Well, now you don't even have to go to the secondary market, which is interesting. You just go to RedSox.com and get really good seats, which, you know, think about that several years ago. That was absolutely unheard of. But the Red Sox, the first pitch is at 2:05. But they would like their fans to be in their seats by 1:15.
Sure. I'll get right there.
For opening day ceremonies, which begin approximately at 1:30.
There's going to be a flyover.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the hell's going to happen other than the flyover, which they've said.
I have the name of the person that's singing the national anthem. Saw it on TV this morning. Anyone interested in finding out?
Do we know who this person is?
Well, you've heard of this person.
Oh, I see who it is. We just discussed this person yesterday.
Yes, we did. We were just talking about this person yesterday in one of her songs.
This is sad. What are we doing? The Red Sox, this is like one of the biggest teams in baseball.
Yeah.
We're getting pretty damn close to the NHL Awards level of celebrity. Opening day, the home opener for the Red Sox.
A lot of singers from the area that could do this. You know, a lot of famous groups from the area that could do this.
I don't even know. Is this person from here?
No.
I didn't think so.
Oakland, I believe.
Who, Pointer Sisters.
Correct.
Ruth
the lead
Pointer.
Singer of the Pointer Sisters.
Oh, it's not even the Pointer Sisters?
No, it's the lead singer.
It's the lead singer.
The lead singer, the one in the middle in all those videos.
I told you about.
She's 72 or something like that.
Maybe she'll sing I Was So Excited.
Yeah.
And,
Ruth Pointer. Going to be singing the national anthem today.
Well, if she sings I'm So Excited, you know it's about a feminine orgasm.
Correct. We found that out yesterday.
Well,
I found that out
yesterday. There's a flyover.
Yes.
What are we doing, Red Sox? You can't get anyone better than Ruth Pointer of the Pointer Sisters.
I'm thinking Dr. Charles has his arms folded and is leaning back on his neck saying, yeah, nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. What are we doing?
We got these hot ladies. The Pointer Sisters woman.
By the way, imagine the balls of asking people to be there 45 minutes before the game starts to see Ruth Pointer of the Pointer Sisters.
At least it'll be warm, so you can wait all that time.
Well, they sent out a press release yesterday, and it was like, there's going to be a flyover, and you go, well, that would be an interesting second.
We've all been to professional sporting events. I think most of us have seen a flyover before.
Yeah, it's a second. I mean, it's literally an airplane that's super fast going over. It's a second.
They've just got to give it up on the ceremony thing.
I mean, is it even a second?
Why have a ceremony?
It's a little longer than a second. I'll say 5 to 6 seconds.
So an airplane takes 5 to 6 seconds to go to fly over.
Well, you
over
can see it if you're
medley?
Sitting in a perfect place in the ballpark. You can see it coming, and then it flies over, and you can hear it as it disappears. So I'll say 5 or 6 seconds.
For a fighter jet to go over little-ass Fenway Park, you could drive across.
It's higher in the air. You know, you could see it for a while.
You could drive across Fenway Park in a second.
Well, it'll take a few seconds to drive across Fenway Park. Well, depends on how fast you're going.
Your dumb car.
If you're a bullpen car, then it takes a while.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. My buddy just called, said he's listening to you guys in the car, and said Nick was supposed to be here to interview us. I'm one of the two jabronis in line.
Why are you there so early?
Because we were here last night. It's a yearly tradition. Like, I've done this 18 years in a row. I have a couple guys here. I've done it like 16, 17 years in a row.
Fair enough. That's great. So Nick's not there?
No, I don't see Nick. Nick's not interviewing us. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh my
God. My buddy Jared just called and said, hey. But yeah, we're idiots. We understand it.
Now, are you in line at the bar or to get into Fenway?
To get into Fenway.
Okay, so I understand, like, you know, years in the past when, you know, they were sold out and they would release, like, a couple tickets. But, I mean, you could buy tickets right now from anywhere. But why still sit out and do the overnight thing? Just because it's tradition?
it's tradition, and we're clearly stupid.
All right. Well, can you get in touch with Nick?
Yeah, if you see Nick, have him call us, please.
I mean, this is a bit that he was supposed to be doing for us. Okay, we'll come back. We'll talk about this Patriots deal and what people are saying. 98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Enjoy football, food, and more with the Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com.
So yesterday, the Patriots agreed to terms with former Arizona Cardinals tight end Troy Nicholas on a one-year deal. Nicholas played 414 offensive snaps last season. It was mostly the second tight end behind or alongside Jermaine Gresham. He was a second-round draft pick in 2014. I know you a week ago, visited Foxborough, and it looks like Bill ended up biting. So when it comes to the compensation that the Patriots just received for Brandon Cooks, there are a lot of theories out there about how it's going to be used. Well, yesterday, Teddy Bruschi said on ESPN's NFL Live that he would be shocked if the Patriots didn't draft a quarterback in the first two rounds of the upcoming NFL draft. Would that shock you at all if they did not do that?
Yes. Well, it sends a clear message to Brady about we're tanking this season. I mean, this is the one chance that, again, you got these guys for probably one more year. And you're building for the future. That's fine.
It says they're tanking the season.
Yeah, well, they're not surrounding Brady with quality talent.
Well, I mean, there's still moves yet to be made, and I agree with you. If you go in with this receiving core, it does seem thin, especially when your best receiver right now is coming off a major injury, and you have a bunch of question marks.
And he's 32, but the rumors are is that there are receivers still out there. Jordan Matthews, Jeremy Maclin, and Eric Decker. Well, Eric Decker is probably going to be the one because they're short a white receiver. But Jeremy Maclin.
Wait a minute. They have their complement, don't they?
They have two.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they got Hogan and Edelman. They got to have three.
They have to have three. That's right.
The triumvirate right. of white receivers.
Fair enough.
But I've always loved Jeremy Maclin. He's one of the top five college players I've ever seen. Two from Missouri, Jeremy Maclin and Brad Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the great players I've seen in college football. Reggie Bush, Jeremy Maclin, Brad Smith, and then I'll have to think of the others. Okay. Charles Woodson.
Yep.
And maybe Rocket Ismail.
Yeah. Often overlooked, by the way.
Rocket Ismail? Yeah, because he went to the Canadian Football League.
Well, I know, but as a college receiver, he was phenomenal.
Well, as a kick returner, he was
unparalleled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was amazing. But Jeremy Maclin was insane in college. So I've always enjoyed his talent. I don't think he's ever been able to flourish or use his talent completely in the NFL. So Jeremy Macklin's a guy, if they got, I would think, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He can do everything. He's old now, but I still would think it's interesting.
At the moment, it looks like the Patriots are doing what they've done for the majority of his career, which is rely on Tom Brady to kind of massage their weaknesses. They don't have a left tackle, really, right now. It seems like, we'll see what happens after the draft, but it seems like they're like, oh, Brady's 41, we'll have a part-time guy over there, we'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. You know, he directs the offense in such a sense that it'll cover up that weakness on his blind side.
That's the big thing about Brandon Cooks is that they feel that he was leaving himself open for contact because it required him to sit back a little bit longer because Cooks stretches the field like that. You know, he doesn't come back for the ball. The receivers weren't coming back
Brady, I mean, I heard this argument on the midday show yesterday. Brady wasn't the right type of quarterback for that guy. You know, Cooks is a go route type of guy. Yeah. Brady doesn't throw the deep ball particularly well.
And he didn't want to
better
hold
than
it
he
that
did
long.
When he was younger. But and in the end, a lot of Brady's throws, Cooks had to slow down to catch. And that's not him. You just throw it as far as you can. Cooks runs into it. It runs under it and catches it and runs. Maybe that's not the right type of wide receiver for this particular quarterback.
And at Brady's age, you don't want to hold the ball that long.
Correct. Which is I'm laughing because you're right, especially with no left tackle. You're going to take a beating, right. So it makes sense.
So I hope they get Jeremy Maclin just to see him. But that's me. He could suck, but I'm a big fan of his. Make it happen, Wallach. Okay.
Call your sources.
But I'm on it. But I guarantee you it's Eric Decker.
Eric Decker's wife is kind of a, she's feisty on Twitter, is she not?
She's a little annoying.
Yeah, she gets him in trouble, if I'm not mistaken. Well,
what's her name? Jesse, I don't know.
She's like good looking, but not worth the hassle.
But she what were some of the things that she was saying that kind of
Jesse
got her in
James
trouble?
Decker is her name, that's right.
No. She's good looking, but not good looking enough for the shenanigans that she's pulling.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be like a 9. I've only seen 110 in my life.
Who's that?
And Hardy agrees. Victoria Silverstead.
Oh yeah, I remember her. She's outstanding.
Was the like a woman that you saw and you were like
oh my, yeah.
And she was with a guy from Entertainment Tonight. She was married to him, but you know what she was doing on the side? Escorting.
Oh, I heard about this in Vegas. Yes, a high priced escort. That's right.
But I mean, can you imagine like you pay for her? And then she comes over. I mean, you're going to feel like an idiot.
Yeah, there's no way you could possibly match up.
Well, yeah, and you know she doesn't want to be there.
Right.
At least give me the illusion that there's
That's
some...
why you need, the Isabella Sopranos of the world. You need the girl next door.
Who's Isabella Soprano?
Cat House. You don't remember her? Look
Isabella
her up. You'll see what I'm...
Soprano. Is that the Russian girl?
No. This is a woman from Cat
leg?
House. No. The one from One Leg, with One Leg. No. Isabella Soprano got a lot of money while working in Cat House. Who's the guy who runs that? Dennis Hoff?
Oh, so she's not in The Soprano.
No.
You really have a working knowledge of that
I know
show.
This. Yeah, HBO. I used
know
to watch
Air
this.
Force Amy.
Right. This one got all of her money because she looked like the girl next door and very attainable. And a lot of men wanted to sleep with her for that reason.
Okay. Well, you have a pretty good working knowledge of Cat House.
Mm-hmm. Fascinated by it.
We were going to send the Dolphin there one time. Dennis Hoff was all on board.
And what happened?
Management squashed it.
Oh.
But, yeah, and probably for the best. You stay at a whorehouse for a couple of days, things are going to happen. Like, they put you up there, and, like things are going to happen.
Well, I mean, you heard about the whole story with, who's the dude on the Lakers?
Lamar Odom?
Yeah, Lamar Odom. That was just depressing.
Yeah.
They showed, what the room looked like that he was living in, and they showed the women he was with. You're like, hey.
Yeah, but if you're at that place for 2 days, I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. If you're at that place for 2 days, I mean, two nights.
That's
I mean, you're going to make a mistake.